everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling with Death. I am your ghost host with the most, the Reaper Matt Connard, and today's guest is a local favorite, depending who you ask, Sean Phoenix. How are you doing today, Sean?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
Good.
Good.
You can tell I've stepped away from the microphone because my voice isn't nearly as prominent.
I could hear the difference.
Yeah. So, get started out of the gate.
In the night.
It's something I want to talk about because it relates. Well, obviously, it relates to, to you. This isn't me throwing you under the bus. This is me just wanting to cover bases. And I think this is a good place to start with you. It was brought to my attention when I first met you early on, and something we've touched on briefly in the past. You started out as a yarder.
Yes.
Starting out as a yarder, or as someone who started out in that, what is the mindset of someone coming from there? Like, what made you... They're kids wrestle in their backyard when they're young all the time.
Right.
I did that.
Right.
Just the thing.
Fred Stoller.
I'll just act like I didn't know.
What? did you think starting in that way you could just bypass training and just ascend from there? Like, what?
I don't know. I've seen.
Yeah. Tell me about
it. Right,
Because I'm going to keep rambling if I just try to find a way to get
into it. That's
fine. Right.
No. To answer that question, no. I got into wrestling in... 2001. I was a kid during the Attitude Era, and because of that, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling because of the content, which sucks as a fan.
Right.
But like, I understand it.
Right.
So that's all I wanted to do was watch wrestling.
Exactly.
So finally, when I was a little bit older, I want to say 2001, I was finally allowed to, and like me and my buddies would start to like we'd wrestle up during recess, like on the field outside during school. It's just funny, just like. Choke slamming each other, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Taking bumps, you know. Just to do it because it was fun.
No, I get that.
And then like it kind of progressed. Like, oh, I was doing it on trampoline, blah blah blah. And then I found some message boards, and that's when I kind of was like, okay, there's not necessarily the right way, but there's a more serious way to do it. Like we were just doing moves. Like, okay, do a suplex. Okay, do a rock bottom. I found these guys that were kind of like putting matches together. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, maybe we could do that. So, like, so we'd wrestle on trampoline about maybe once every week, just having fun. And then I would watch these guys that were like, I could tell that they were good as far as backyard could be concerned. I hear people saying, like, oh, this thing is good backyard. I can hear it right now. But, like, but compared to me, like, what I was doing as a 12-year-old, like, these guys were entertaining. They were good. Very kind of indie quality. You could tell they were inspired by the indies. So, like, I wanted to be as good as them. So, like, I would study those videos and stuff like that. And then, like, we would record it and make a music video, a highlight video, and we'd put it on that, and then everyone would critique. Little did I know, those guys had some training. So they were kind of doing everything right. Which is why I was able to notice that they were talented. And then eventually, like, maybe a couple years later, I ended up getting invited out to wrestle with them. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Like, here's guys that I kind of idolized in a way. Now I'm meeting them and wrestling with them. So that was really cool. Like, I always say it's kind of like a Disney Channel movie. Like, the people you idolize are now, like, you're with them. Like, I've kind of made it up the ranks as far as this stupid hobby is concerned. But I just, my whole mindset to the backyarding was anything I did in backyarding was to prepare for pro. I always knew I wanted to get trained. I was a kid at the time. And I did get some training a little bit when I was in high school, but I couldn't afford it. Also, someone said some pretty discouraging things to me. I don't want to name names, but they were like, why don't you just be a referee? So that just like killed me. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
So that on top of not being able to afford it, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll take a break from this. And then, like, I had no intentions of backyarding after that point when I was training. But then I did fall into, like, a dark place. Like, I don't do drugs or anything like that. But I had some demons, and the only thing I knew to do was wrestle. So at this point, I'm a little bit older, and I kind of regret it in a way. Like, I should have just stuck with it. But also, I don't regret it because had I not started yarding again... I wouldn't have made the connections I I have right now.
Mm.
And by yarding, I don't mean like I was like hitting each other with light tubes and stuff like that. Like we were trying to do it as professional as possible, storylines, stuff like that. And like I said, some guys had training.
Mm.
But like we never wanted to backdoor our way into the company. So finally, whenever I rested up some nagging injuries, I finally got training, and the rest is history.
What was it that made you initially decide, all right, now I need to actually get some training? Because it sounds like when you're talking about backyarding and whoever these guys were that had some training, you sound like at a certain point you were not necessarily content, but you were all right with what you were doing. What made you stop and go, all right, I need to actually go get trained? Because, I don't know, you seem, the way you were talking mm-hmm. to me about just now, it seemed like you weren't uncomfortable
right.
with what you were doing
right.
with the backyarding.
Right.
So where in your head does it finally snap, you know, I should really go get trained. This isn't really what I need to be doing, or I need to set myself on the right path to turn this into something.
Right.
How does your mind
well, it's
get
funny
from one
you
place
say,
to another?
I was having time in my life. Like it was so much fun. We travel like to Ohio, to New York and all that stuff and like have parties and like, so it was a lot of fun. But then like I kind of felt like I was in a closet. Like I felt like the entire city of Pittsburgh was looking down on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like just waiting for me to like reveal that like, oh, I'm yarding again. Oh, you're blacklisted.
Right.
So like I actually like blocked like everyone. Like I was just so paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
But the main reason why I stuck with it so long is because I just wanted to finish storylines. That's pretty much it. Like once I was like, all right, I want to finish this storyline and then we're good to go. Like just so happened the storyline was a year long angle, but regardless. So once that finished up, I was like, yeah, okay, this is it. And I also kind of quote came out of the closet to someone like, hey, you know, I'm doing this, you know? And he was like, yeah, we kind of know, but it's no real big deal, you know? And then we had a talk and I'm sure you could figure out who it was if you look deep enough.
Probably.
Tell you later.
Yeah.
If you care to know.
Sure.
So that took a lot of weight off my shoulders. But then it was like, and they really helped me kind of make sure, like, you know, I'm wasting my time doing this. You know, I'm acquiring injuries that aren't going to mean anything. You know, like I've hurt, you know, I tore my rotator cuff and I have nothing to show for it. You know, like I don't have a match in front of 500 people where you could see that happen. You know, it's just a stupid rinky dink thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sucks. But like I said, I don't really regret it because I think if I would have stayed training at 16, this business would have like eaten me alive because I was just not who I am right now. You know, I was a kid. I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
Even compared to like 3 years ago, I'm a completely different person. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. So
no, I mean, starting that young, 16,
yeah,
can have various effects on different people.
Absolutely.
I know a handful of people who started at 16, and it's some of them benefit from it, some of them,
yeah,
you know, not so much. So that's
right.
Really a crapshoot starting that young, because
right.
this business has a lot of dark areas in it,
right,
that can be very influential on a young person,
right?
So you finally start to seek out actual training.
Yep.
Was Brandon the first place you looked? Brandon K?
He was not, actually, because I was previously training with IWC for that little bit. So I wanted to go back to IWC and actually had a tryout, and I failed because of my torn rotator cuff. I went into it and I didn't tell them, like, hey, you know, I'm kind of injured going into this.
Who was the trainer?
I was Justin Idle.
Justin, okay.
Yeah. So I failed the tryout because I actually had a type of therapy called prolotherapy. They inject something into the tear and it intentionally inflames.
Mm.
So the blood flow increases it, but you can't take any like anti-inflammatory, can't put ice on it.
Mm.
So they do that and they have an ultrasound and they're like, all right, we're all done. I'm like, you mind checking my right shoulder? Because my right one's bugging me too. And I had a tear in my right one too, not as bad. So I had both my shoulders were all messed up.
Mm.
Then I went to the tryout, couldn't really do push-ups. And, you know, I was out of shape. It was, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't make excuses, but so I was like, ah, oh, that sucks. And then I was friends with Crystal Frost, and she was like, yeah, you should really, you know, give Brandon a shot. And I was just so, like, stubborn, like, oh, you know, I started with IWC. I wanted to, you know, finish. I don't want to to show that if you guys, I'm a quitter or anything, or I'm a traitor. Like, no, really, like, give Brandon a shot. So I wanted to do another tryout, whether it was IWC or with Brandon, and it came down to, well, I'm going to fail both of these. So which one am I going to lose least money and less money at? So I gave Brandon a shot, and he passed me, and I'm sure he regrets it to this day.
I harped on this with Lawless. Brandon is probably the best talent from Pittsburgh. Never to get a shot.
Yeah.
Like, I put him and Doe up.
Absolutely.
Those two. Like, that's no disrespect to, say, an Idol.
Right.
Because I think Idol's great.
Absolutely.
But Brandon has just... it seems Brandon has done everything but... Like, he's come so close, and just, for whatever reason, never happened for him. So, if you're going to get trained by anybody in the city, Brandon, you know, Brandon's...
Completely agree.
As close to ideal as you can get.
Absolutely.
What, you know, coming from your backyard, what was it like going from that to being around and learning from someone like Brandon? Was it like night and day? Did you have any doors open up in your mind? Like, holy shit, like, this is not what I thought.
I mean, not really. I mean, I think it has to do with the guys that I was wrestling with when I was yarding had some training. And also, it was like I was doing a lot of studying.
Mm.
Like, I would watch like Tough Enough and like learn how to like run the ropes that way and stuff like that. So I pretty much had the gist of it all down. I don't want to come in here and sound like I'm a know-it-all or anything. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, like we went over a couple things every now and then. But like, I remember the most difficult thing I had to learn how to do was a reverse DDT. The Scorpion Death Drop. Like, that for some reason was just... that and a leg drop, the two most basic things. Like, I had troubles with them. But, like, I eventually got it, like, 5 tries later. But then they really helped me, like, psychology-wise and stuff like that. But as far as, like, the actual execution of stuff, like, everything was, you know, I got pretty quickly, which I think also has to do with how great of a teacher Brandon and Crusher are.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the most important thing you learned from Brandon was? If you had to isolate something.
Man, I can't pick just one.
I mean, you can.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, like, he's taught me so many important things, him and Crusher. Ah, man. Probably to slow it down.
Yeah.
Slow it down. Just, like, that's the most universal thing. Like, it's such a cliche answer, but, like, just slow down, you know? Like, when you're out there, and I'm sure I'm still guilty of this. I'm only a year in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm still way too fast. But, like, now that I'm a year in and I'm no longer the new guy... Like, wrestling guys at Black Diamond and stuff like that. Like, there are newer guys than me, and I can see that, like, some guys are just way too fast. And, like, when you're out there, it feels like you're going slow, but you're not, so. And I also think, like, an issue is, like, I do kind of, like, a quick lucha style. So, like, I do want to kind of go quick and flashy, bang, 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 bang.
Mm.
But, like, I could still slow it down, and, like, that really, you know, was kind of an eye-opening thing.
Yeah, lucha's not something I've ever understood, nor really... showed any interest in.
Right.
And why should I? I'm not the size for it.
Right.
But I find even in America, in places where we wrestle,
yeah,
you know, the Wheelings and,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Pittsburghs, that style can be good if, like you said, you incorporate the tortoise pace to it.
Right.
And put those spots in places where... they will mean something.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Gory's a perfect example of that.
Yep.
He loves that style, and he knows where to put that shit.
Yeah.
You know, so there's an example for you and for everyone here.
Yeah.
This is a good spot for a break. We're going to go to break.
Okay.
Take a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with Sean Phoenix. ProWrestlingTees.com/MattConnor. The only piece of clothing you'll ever need to wear. Disclaimer, Pro Wrestling Tees, Wrestling with Death, and Matt Connor are not responsible for any ramifications you may encounter while out in public only wearing a t-shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/MattConnor. And we're back with Sean Phoenix.
We're back!
Yeah, we are back. You gonna buy any of those t-shirts I just plugged?
I guess so.
You don't have to answer now.
I guess so.
Maybe later.
I did show up not wearing a shirt, so.
Yeah, which I thought was weird, but it's fine. I want to talk about something that's not really wrestling related, but can round to it. you're straight edge.
Yes.
Where does that come from in your youth?
Good question. Just like any other wrestling fan, I discovered it with CM Punk and then looked into it more. I remember at my first Super Indie show, it was like he was there and he had the three X's on the back. I'm like, oh, this guy likes porn. I'm sure like everyone does.
Right.
But then he was wearing a Dare shirt. And I looked more into it and I'm like, oh, straight edge, that's cool. And like, I was in like seventh grade. So it was like right at the time when like all my friends were starting to experiment with stuff, like with drinking and smoking weed and stuff like that. And like, I just never was into that. Like growing up, my mom smoked cigarettes. I lost my grandfather to lung cancer. We had a family relative steal money from us for drugs and a cousin overdose on heroin. And like, when my dad would drink when I was younger, he'd get like abusive. So like just growing up, like I just never wanted to touch this stuff. Right. And like now I'm finding out that there's a way, there's a lifestyle, and like it's got ties to punk music and I like punk music. I'm like, this is like perfect. It was like, and there's this wrestler that does it. So like I wouldn't be the only one that was clean and plan on being clean for the rest of my life. So it just like, it's funny, like, I got kind of slack for it from my friends. They're like, you're under 21. You're not straight edge. You're a law-abiding citizen. Which I guess you make a good point.
Well, like, still, that's ever stopped a kid.
Exactly, yeah. But like I said, like, my friends were experimenting. And like, it sounds cliche, but, like, my only addiction was wrestling.
Mm.
And I discovered it through wrestling and punk music. So it's just kind of, like, all kind of fell together. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Can I rebuttal that?
Yeah, of course you can.
It has been brought to my attention that most straight edge people have a vice. I know some that gamble.
Okay.
I know that some are addicted to chicks.
Oh, okay.
I know some that love food.
Right.
Do you have a vice?
Ooh, Batman.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really know what that fucking means.
Well, I mean, like, what gives you a high? Like, almost kind of like a guilty pleasure.
God, a million things. Like,
it's such a, like,
it's such a polarizing question.
And it also, no matter how you answer it, you feel really lame. Like, this is my high.
Right.
Like, I think mine would probably be like, I love collecting things. I love collecting CDs. I love collecting comic books. Like, that's kind of my high. The feeling of a complete, like, set. Like, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of stuff gives me that. Okay. Like, it's not just one particular thing. It's like, oh, if I didn't have this, my life would be miserable.
Right.
Like, I have a bunch of stuff.
Well, that's fair. At least it's not, like, something destructive, like gambling or something.
No,
like that.
I mean, maybe I masturbate too much. That's my own deal, man.
That's between you and the camera.
Right. That taped up camera. Have you ran into a lot of, like, slack from people in the business since you started about this?
No. I mean, everyone, like, it's almost kind of like completely, oh, that's cool. Like, you are straight edge.
Mm.
Just like as if someone were to like baseball. You know, it's just something about me, you know?
You bastard. I caught so much slack.
I'm sorry.
When I started in the business about being a straight edge.
Really?
Like, going from guys just giving me shit about not going out.
Right.
I was like, oh, come on, have a drink.
Right.
No, not one. You know, you're not one of the boys unless you drink.
Right.
Can I be? Ugh. Can I just have water and talk to you guys? No, you gotta fucking drink. That to promoters,
yeah,
which I won't name, coming up to me and goes, you ever thought about getting on the gas?
Oh, jeez.
Or a certain wrestler being like, man, you need to fucking get on something. Look at you. I'm like, oh, no, I don't need to.
Right.
I really don't.
Yeah.
And even asking, I remember asking Nigel McGuinness once at a seminar, because he's about my height, and he was a bigger dude. I was like, how do I do this? Do that without gas. Goes, well, sunshine, if you really want to do that without that, you better eat a lot. he made it sound like, oh, it's inevitable.
Right.
I really don't think it is.
Yeah.
Like, now that a few years later, now that I'm in a different area, it's not an issue now.
Right.
But there was a time when I just couldn't get away from guys, like, giving me shit about not drinking or being on the gas.
I mean, like, I get, like, jokes every now and then, like, are you sure you want to drive with Phoenix in the car? He always has an open can on him, like, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, like, no one ever gives me, like, a really hard time. I don't really go out too much, and that's not because, like, I don't like hanging out. It's just because I'm just exhausted, stuff like that, or I'm usually with someone that has to work the next day or something like that. But, like, I do like going out and hanging out with people. When I was a kid, I couldn't stand to be around, like, people drinking. But, like, now I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I sometimes I go to parties and I'm usually the one that makes an ass out of myself the most, you know, like, oh, what's this kid on? Like, nothing. Like, I like doing that.
Right.
But yeah, like, I've been pretty fortunate where no one's really giving me a hard time.
Have you ever been around anyone? It's mostly a name. I'm just going to say it's mostly names that I've encountered that are just like blindingly like jonesing for something, like they're looking for something. Like, have you experienced like veterans in a locker room that are like still struggling with things?
As far as a substance?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Like, I've experienced more of that at WrestleCon, because I'm really not on too many shows yet with names or veterans, but, like, there's the occasional person, like, smoking weed or whatever, but, like, I've had someone come up to me, like, I introduced myself, and at WrestleCon, he's like, hey, man, where can I get a cigarette? I'm like, nice to meet you. But, like, I've never really seen, like, anybody, like, jonesing for, like, drugs or anything like that. If it's happening, it's... I'm oblivious to it, you know. Yeah. Like, I'm just in my own little world, like, kind of doing my thing. But like, if they are, I mean, I'm sorry that they need that.
You know? I'm running into that way more than I would like to.
Yeah,
and it's just all you have to do is look at how many guys we've lost to really like turn away from that. But right. It's when you run into someone who's still got that monkey on their back,
right?
Where you're just like, man, how is any of that ever worth it?
Right.
Like, even you do all this stuff to your body, like. Is relying on a prescription worth it?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? I remember being on a show, I won't say the veteran's name, but he's a certain homicidal, suicidal, genocidal guy.
Oh, Pete Gass.
Yeah, Pete Gass. And him just rummaging through the locker room, like, hey man, you got any gimmicks?
Like, I can see that.
It's like, man.
That's not a life I want to live.
Like, you clearly beat yourself up enough.
Right.
Like, I don't know. What? This is not a weird question, but at what point, I get you do something your whole life, that's all you know.
Yeah.
At a certain point, when do you, like, I don't know, try to venture into another avenue?
Right,
like,
teach. Yeah.
Open a school. Ricky Morton is teaching down in Tennessee now. Huh. I mean, he's still working.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's found an avenue that if he hangs it up tomorrow, he's got...
Right.
A way to make income because he's teaching people.
Right.
Like, once you, I don't know. There's no more, when do you like find an exit strategy?
In terms of the substance abuse, or
get to a point where you realize the business is bringing you down more than it's holding you up?
Yeah.
And you need to get out before it destroys you.
I don't think a lot of people know that. That's why they turn to substance abuse and stuff like that.
I think some guys rely on the business so much they don't think an exit strategy is an option.
Oh, which is definitely me. I definitely don't have an exit strategy, but I'm not going to turn to drugs or whatever. Like, in high school, like, I definitely didn't pay attention. I was always daydreaming about Ring of Honor and stuff like that. Like, I don't know anything. And, like, when Daniel Bryan had to retire, like, it sounded, like, word for word from, like, me. Like, I don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. And, like, granted, you can even argue that I know wrestling at all. But, like, if I were to hear that, like, I couldn't wrestle tomorrow, like, I would have no idea what to do. Like, I didn't go to school. I didn't go to college. I mean, like, I never was a school guy. I don't have any expertise in anything. Like, I may be a good pilot, but I don't know. Like, I have no interest in that. You know, I may be a good carpenter, but, like, I'm not good with numbers, but, like, so I'm really putting all my eggs in one basket.
No, I get it, man. Yeah. I was in the same boat. I didn't go to college
because
there's nothing I was interested in. I didn't want to get into debt over something. So I just went to the workforce and was just biding time until I got to wrestle.
Right,
and even now, like, the jobs I take are all based on whether my weekend's free or not.
Yeah, same.
And, like... Until some, like, not burden, but until some life-changing thing happens, like I have a kid or something, that's all I'm going to keep doing.
Yeah, agreed.
Until I'm forced to make a drastic life change.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't have wrestling, I don't know what I'd do.
I'd just be a dude.
I'd still be in West Virginia, like, wasting my life.
Right. And that was a big thing about going back to the yarding thing, like, that was a big thing. Like, I felt like, you know, I could keep doing this, but, like, I have nothing to show for it. And, like, what if I got hurt? Like, mm-hmm. I would legitimately never get to do my dream.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big thing. It's like, I never wanted to feel, and, like, I have a tattoo right here that says "In All That Could Have Been,"
mm-hmm.
which is lyrics to a song, which is how I felt like I didn't want my life to become. Like, I didn't want it to be like, oh, you know, if Phoenix could just have got his head on straight and stopped that yarding crap, like, he could have did something, you know? Like, so I actually got this, like, 2 weeks after I started training. It was like, all right, I'm not going to be, like, a All That Could Have Been story. Like, mm-hmm. this is it. So yeah, but, yeah, if this ends tomorrow, I'd probably try and, like, do another extreme sport. Like, I was always into that, like BMX and motocross and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I like the thrills, so.
There's another thing that weighs heavy on my mind a lot is injuries.
Yeah.
Like, I worry every time I go out there I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't mean by someone I'm working with.
Yeah.
I mean by just a freak accident.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree.
And then I get hurt. Not only am I laid up, now I have a hospital bill to worry about.
Yep.
And now I'm, the same reason I didn't go to college, now this is happening, I'm in debt.
Yep.
Would there ever be, if you would get hurt and you would, you know, that would happen to you, where you'd be like, well, I don't know if I can do another one of these. Like, at the position we're in.
Yeah.
Where it's very, like, going up the ladder, even right. on an indie perspective. You think there's ever a point you would get hurt enough and get overwhelmed with, say, hospital bills and financial debt, where you're like, I don't know, think I can handle another injury.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I'm in my life and being able to be okay, I can keep going. You think there's a point of that for you?
There probably should be. But,
right.
I don't know. Like, I try to have a positive attitude, you know? Like, I try to think, like, if I'm not going to get injured, like, if I think, oh, nothing's going to happen. Nothing happened. Like, there's been so many times growing up where it's been, like, my mom's been like, oh, don't play outside. It's thunder and lightning. You're going to get struck by lightning. And, like, every time something like that's happened, I've been like, no, like, everything's going to be fine. And, yeah, that might be just dumb luck.
Well, parents fucking lie to you.
But legitimately, like,
don't go swimming for at least a half hour if you eat. That's bullshit. They lied to you your whole life. Santa's not real.
Right.
Sorry, kids.
Wait.
Shit.
But, like, I've been, like, pretty fortunate. Like, I get bangs and, you know, bruises every here and there, but, like, a sprained ankle or whatever, like, I've been very freaking fortunate with my injuries. And, like, yeah, a torn rotator cuff, herniated disc, like, that sucks, but it's not, like, the end of the world. Like, I can overcome it. And that's kind of, like, my mindset is, like, if there's a setback, I have to overcome it so I can continue to do what I love. And, like, I've had broken fingers since February. But doctors were like, yeah, you might be out for, like, 6 weeks. Like, I was in the ring the next weekend. I'm just a workhorse as far as wrestling is concerned because I feel like I've wasted so much time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though I'm relatively young, like, I'm 26, I'm an old young guy
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, young guys are concerned. So, like, I'm really trying to work hard to make up for all that lost time. And, like, I was thinking, like, I really could use a vacation just in general. Just go, like, to a beach or whatever.
Mm.
But I'm such a workhorse that if I go to another, like, if I go to the beach for a week, like, I'm going to try and get a booking. Mm-hmm. Like, I legitimately, if I travel, I need to find a place to wrestle. I need to, you know, find a new town. So, like, I'm just constantly going, man.
Mm.
So, I don't think there ever will be a time, unless I physically, like, legitimately, if I'm, like, paralyzed, then obviously I can't wrestle. Mm-hmm. Or if, like, I lose my leg,
mm-hmm.
maybe I can still wrestle. But, I mean, Zach Gallen can, so. Yeah, I'm more of a jump and then think of the consequences later type of guy.
Right.
So.
I think about this shit all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I try to not, but I'm a very much a what-if guy.
Yeah.
What if this happens? What if that happens? So, it's on my mind a lot. Like, a lot.
Understandably so.
Yeah. I worry about breaking my leg, not being able to work for months, and then my fiance having to support us because I can't work.
Right.
Like,
there's the guilt there.
There's the guilt there. Not only the guilt, but, like, I broke my leg, And now I'm out of a job.
Yeah.
And I did this all for $5.
Right, yeah. Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? And I don't know. I wrestle with the business a lot.
Yeah.
I just had this conversation with System, with Edric, about what, like, pretty much the same thing. Is there such thing as a line?
Right.
And if there is a line for you, does that necessarily mean you love the business less than other people? Or does it just mean you're more realist? Some people get so consumed by the business they can't imagine being away from it. And some people love the business, but they could be okay stepping away from it. And I don't think that means one person loves the business more than another. I just think some people are realists.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, one of our friends, I mean, I know he's a friend of mine, he's from New York, Jimmy Nuts.
Jimmy, yeah.
Like, tremendous talent.
Mm-hmm.
I've known him for years. Just got away from the business.
Yeah, know? Because the doctors told him.
Yep.
And he had no problem just being like, all right, I'm done.
Absolutely. And you know what? I have so much respect for him for that. Like, yeah, I'm bummed out that we never got a chance to wrestle a pro, but
yeah.
But like, good for him, man. No, good for him.
Jimmy's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he was just able just to wipe his hands clean and move on.
Right.
Because he deserves to be happy.
Yeah.
And if he's able to be happy away from the business, I'm happy for him.
Yep, good for him. I definitely couldn't do that. Thankfully, he was smart. Like, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't put all of his eggs in one basket. Like, so.
No.
I think that's a big reason why, like, there's no line for me is, like, it's legitimately this or nothing, so.
I don't know. I go on about this all day because I teeter-totter all the time. But I think it's about time for another break.
All right.
Looks like it. Yeah. We will take one more break, and when we return after my social media plugs, we will be right back with Sean Phoenix. You can follow the show on Twitter at Wrestling Death. You can follow me at Reaper Matt C. And you can follow my guest, Sean Phoenix, at XSeanXPhoenix. Yeah, he's got a bunch of X's in his name because he's that damn cool. Yeah, I don't have anything else to plug. You can go over to Sean's page, look at his stuff. Just Google Sean Phoenix. How many can there be in the world? All right, back to the show. And we're back with Sean Phoenix. Tell me, I want to talk about your first match after you were trained.
Okay.
What was it like? Who was it with? Don't necessarily have to say the company.
Okay.
But let's talk about that experience. And how do you, was it any different from when you were backyarding? Like, what was the difference once you actually got trained and actually put out in front of a crowd?
Right, right.
Right.
It started out as a handicap match. It was me versus Lee Moriarty and Samuel Adams. And then Cassidy Stone made the save, so then it became a tag match. That was January 30th, 2016. I know that because I have it tattooed.
Oh.
Yeah. Because that's when my life changed.
Yeah.
It was cool being in front of a crowd. Like, that was pretty much the only real difference. It was like, versus, you know, it was wrestling in front of other wrestlers, like the fans, and we'd spend all day watching it versus actual paying customers. So that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I was very confident. Like, it wasn't completely different from what I was doing. Like, I feel like if I didn't have that experience in the ring, quote-unquote, my first match would have been, like, you know, butterflies, that type of thing. But, like, I kind of was, like, just ready for it. You know, I've been ready for a while. I just needed someone, a stamp of approval to say, yeah, he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember specifically, the one thing that I remember thinking during that was Samuel Adams gave me a... Also, the top rope was screwed up. So that was a bit of an issue. I'm like, cool, pro wrestling's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But Samuel Adams gave me an elbow drop from the second rope, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like a bigger guy. Like, mm-hmm. he's short, but he's kind of like stocky. Mm-hmm. And like, he just landed like side on me. Like, not like just the elbow, but he like gave me all his weight. And I remember thinking like, oh, this is going to be great. Just like, not just the match, but just like the rest of my career. I was like, oh, we're really laying in there. Okay. And then I've learned that like, it's not really how you should do that. But,
no.
but other than that, like it was good. I called my mom and I was like, hey, you guys got to come out here. I found out the day of I was debuting.
Yeah.
So like, that was cool.
Yeah.
Called my mom, they came out, my siblings and stuff. Didn't get paid.
How it goes.
but like, it was just, I felt it was such a relief. It's like, finally, like, now I can start the rest of my life. Like, it's not necessarily all downhill from here, but I'm on the right road, you know? Like, this is what I've wanted since I was 13, and here we are. Like, it was cool. So.
Something I admire about you is how willing you are to travel.
Absolutely.
Because that's something young guys really need to do. I remember when I was starting, I remember a time within a 3-month period, I was in New Jersey, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all like within a 3-month span, like every week in just different states. And it's when you're a young guy and all you've got is just going out there and getting your name out.
Yeah.
It's the most gratifying thing you can. Because
right.
All you wanted to do when you were a kid was mm-hmm. be a wrestler and travel.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're getting to do it. How has that been for you as a guy who's officially trained and officially what people would call a wrestler,
right.
Going out there and hitting the road? Because I saw you were just in Jersey not long ago. You were just in yep. Tennessee.
Yep. Massachusetts 2 days before that. Yeah.
How has your experience been on the road? And
It's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The only real issue is, like, I don't have my own car. So, like, that kind of sucks. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
That sucks. But, like, it kind of works out because, like, I kind of get bookings and then I kind of share them with other people. Like, like David Lawless, like Remy LeVay, like stuff like that, where it's just like, hey, do you want to take this? Like, so like they'll drive and then we go. So it's kind of like it benefits both of us. Like, I'm not saying they wouldn't be getting bookings if it wasn't for me, but like I help them in that aspect versus, and they like drive there. Lately it's been so last minute that like I've had to take the family car and I haven't really had a chance to travel with them and I feel terrible, but yeah, like it's so cool to do that. I love traveling, and like when I was yarding, like we would legitimately travel. Like I wrestled in just yarding. Mm-hmm. I wrestled in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida, Vancouver, Canada,
mm-hmm.
which is the West Coast for mm-hmm. those who don't know. And like, I always thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm doing this as a hobby, and I've wrestled in another country on the West Coast just to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't fathom to think like how much, like it's going to be so much more fun doing this and then getting paid. Mm-hmm. Not well, but like to actually like feel, you know, go to bed, you know, and sleep good at night knowing like, wow, like I'm a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. I'm living my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the traveling aspect really carried over because I learned, you know, to like to travel because of that. And it sucks being in a car for so long, but when you have friends, it's not that bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm really fortunate to have a lot of people I consider friends in the business, because the famous quote is, you can make friends or you can make money, and...
Well, none of us are making money.
Yeah, so I consider you a friend.
Yeah.
I consider pretty much everyone a friend. Like, I'm probably way too nice for this business. What's that? You're nice to me? Cool, you're my friend.
Yeah, the business will shake some of that out of you. Yeah. I used to get told the same thing.
Yeah.
And then, not that I got more cynical, or I learned to keep my block up with some people.
Right, right.
Going forward for right. certain reasons. It's not getting to my cynical nature. what do you think's what's the weirdest place you've used as a locker room in your travels?
Oh, man. I can tell you the weirdest place I've wrestled, which... I wrestled at Warped Tour. That was kind of cool. That was weird, but that was kind of cool. I wrestled in a fire station.
Mm.
Like, if there was a 911 call, like, the show would have been interrupted because all the firemen would have run. I was like, this is so cool.
Mm.
I feel like there was a reason. I wrestled in a movie theater with Brandon's company, Rise,
mm-hmm.
Which, on paper, sounds really weird, but, like, you get to the venue and like, oh, this makes perfect sense. I wrestled at fairs. Like, nothing really too, like fairs, that's common, but like the fire station was really weird.
Yeah, I think I bring this up just because when I was talking about all the places I traveled, it brought this up in my mind. You can't think of a place you were forced to use as a locker room, or you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
I've changed in the back of a U-Haul, like the thing that brought the ring.
Well, yeah, we've both done that.
Yeah. There was a weird fair show that had a... I don't even know what I was changing in, but it was like... It was like covered in spiders and then like I'm arachnophobic. I'm like, I don't like this at all, but then I did it. Man, this is... Everything's kind of calm, like as far as the actual changing room. Like there's been times where there hasn't been a changing room and it's just been like curtains and like, all right, change here.
Right.
Meanwhile, everyone behind the curtain can see your bare ass. Nothing really too odd.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed in a tool shed. But, I mean, I just kind of expected that. Because yeah. I came from the backyard where there was a tool shed, you know? Right. All of that's kind of normal to me. Right. Just like wrestling outside. Like, I remember the first time I would start to do spot shows, like for Black Diamond. Like, someone was like, hey, make sure you wear sunscreen. I'm like, dude. Like, I'm from wrestling outside. Like, right. This is nothing new to me.
Right.
I still got sunburned.
Before we get to the game portion, I want to talk about the fact that you're a... what's the technical term? You blow fire.
Yes, fire breather.
Fire breather. Yes. There's the word I was looking for. What the fuck?
That's another thing I learned from backyarding. That was something I started doing... In preparation to pro, it was. I always wanted to use the name Sean Phoenix. We'll start on that real quick.
Okay.
I knew I was a small guy, so I was going to do high flying stuff. So I wanted an avian like name. Something with a crow, something cardinal, and Phoenix. Like, I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool. It was, keep in mind, this back in 2002 and no one used the name Phoenix. And like, I like the imagery behind it. You know, you immediately associate that with fire and stuff like that. And I took the name Sean because I, you know, Shawn Michaels is such an inspiration to small, you know, small guys. I even spell it the same way because of it. And I like the name just Sean Phoenix. Like, I hated my real name. And I always would imagine a Chuck Roberts announcing Sean Phoenix. Like, that was always my go-to, was it had to be Chuck Roberts because I was such an IWC fanboy back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to hear, and I know Aiden Vale was the same way. We both had to hear Chuck Roberts say it. However, I haven't heard him say it, actually, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So, I was Sean Phoenix. I had fire on my gear, fire, you know, this and that. I'm like, I need something different, you know? And I thought, oh, fire breathing's really cool. Like, yeah, Ricky Steamboat has done it, but, like, he only did it, like, what, once or twice, as far as I know?
Even for that short return run he did.
Yeah, okay.
When he had, like...
The dragon.
The wings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But even if that was, what, in the 80s?
80s, early 90s.
So I'm like, okay, well, no one's really doing this. And that was always the thing, even with yarding, is I wanted to be different. Granted, my gimmick at the time was the same as Gory. I had no idea.
Mm.
Like, I legitimately stopped watching indie wrestling, and that was weird because we get told we look alike all the time. But I always wanted to be different. People go in there and they do rock bottoms and stuff like that. You're not cosplaying as The Rock. You're a professional wrestler. You mm-hmm. shouldn't do what other people are doing,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because then all you'll be is a comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to do something different. And I don't know how I came up with the idea of vibrating. I wish I knew like what it was that I saw or thought of. But like it was an idea and I started toying around with it. And I remember using lighter fluid. Didn't really like the way it tastes. Kind of burned my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I used lamp oil. That didn't give me a fume at all. And I don't want to reveal what I use
The
air. Because right. I feel like if you reveal the trick, you know, the illusion's ruined. But yes, I do use a fluid widely available to people. And fans ask me, what do you use? And I say, I can't tell you. But I actually inhaled that at the one Black Diamond show and was very sick.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I definitely don't, don't suggest doing that.
And
don't rip me off either.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, you won't tell people what it is, so all you'll get is a bunch of people putting liquid in their mouth
yeah.
and trying to see if it's flammable.
Yeah, definitely don't.
You
don't
won't
try
cause this. Any weird accidents at all.
I inhaled said fluid on a Saturday evening, went to Peyton's party, and were you there for that? It was Julia's surprise party.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Peyton was talking to me, and I remember like my chest was feeling really tight. I'm like, man, this doesn't feel good. And I assume you want to know the story behind this.
No, you brought it up. Let's.
So, like, I started feeling, like, this tightness in my chest. And I don't smoke or anything like that. So this was really weird. Like, I've never experienced anything like that before. And I knew I inhaled it, like, going into the match. Like, if you watch the match, like, you can hear me coughing with every inhale. Like, it's literally... And I've never experienced that before, let alone with poison. If I drive home, I'm just, like, not feeling good. I'm feeling more and more nauseous. And I'm talking to my mom. She's also a paramedic. So I'm like, Mom, I don't feel too good. She's like, maybe you should go to the hospital. I'm like, ah, I'm okay. Of course, things were not okay,
right,
as a cartoon voiceover would do. So I had a booking the next day, and that was the main reason why I didn't want to go to the hospital, because I didn't want to be in there all night. And then, so I woke up and immediately just had to run to the bathroom. I just threw up. And I'm like, okay, I'm definitely poisoned, because when I did my promo shots, like for my 8x10s, like I was breathing fire, and I did a lot of flame on that day, and I started to feel really sick, and we called poison control, and they said, well, as long as you don't throw up, you're not poisoned.
Right.
So this, I was definitely poisoned.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I'm not feeling good. And I remember that night I was feeling really hot, and I'd wake up and I'd be all sweaty. Then I'd be cold, so I'd have the cold sweats. So then I woke up, I threw up, and I'm like, I don't know. My mom's like, you should go to the hospital. I'm like, no, I can't. I got a booking, Mom. So drove over. I got a ride over to David Lawless's house, and Remy LeVay was already there. And immediately I was like, I felt like it was, I had a rough Saturday night, because I'm like, hey, pull over. And I pulled over and just threw up out of the car. This nice little couple's walking their dog. They probably think I'm a drunk. Little do they know. And so we're on the way to the venue. I'm like, guys, we got to stop at Walmart. I need a bucket just in case I threw up. But I didn't, thankfully. And I messaged the booker. I'm like, hey, I can't wrestle. Like, I'm dying. Like, I legitimately feel like I'm dying. I can't breathe. The way I explain it is, if you blow, like, into a balloon, the balloon, like, inflates, obviously. If you just blow a little bit in, it kind of like opens a bit, but it doesn't inflame. That's what my lungs were doing. They weren't, you know, expanding. I was getting some air in, but not a lot, and it hurt to do it. So we got to the venue. The booker was actually surprised I even showed up. I guess I forgot to tell him I was on the way, but I was going to go to the hospital. I was sweating. David Lawless and Remy LeVay wrestled. They were in a triple threat, and then Lawless took me to the hospital, and I was there for like 4 hours. With pneumonia, and the issue was, it wasn't just pneumonia, it was literal poison. And the doctors didn't know what to do, because there's no, that's not a common thing to okay, so what do we do if this is inhaled? That they couldn't go to the book, so they had to call like other hospitals and stuff like that to get other input and stuff like that. And they still couldn't even treat me properly, because they were so unprepared for it. So they gave me, like, I was on, like, I think I had 2 IVs in both arms, and I slept the whole time. Something also was very low. I don't remember what it was. So we left and immediately had an appointment for a lung doctor. And then I finally was able to start to get treated, and I had to do breathing treatments and stuff like that. I had to test my lung capacity and stuff like that. So yeah, was not fun. Missed a booking, but I learned from it. I learned not to do it if it's too windy, because it was outside. Learn not to use as much in my mouth. And I don't recommend anybody do it. Leave it to the professional.
Jesus Christ.
Man. Yeah, it sucked.
As soon as I got done with the show, I swallowed it and I would have been in the hospital. Like, I would have fucking...
Yeah.
But then again, I'm a big old puss.
But, like, it was weird, because once the match was done, I was fine. Like, once it kind of passed through my esophagus, I was fine. It wasn't until, like, 8 o'clock at night that my chest started to tighten up, so... That was the issue.
No. I would have, as soon as I swallowed it, I would have constantly self-analyzed myself. until I saw a doctor and he would have told me, oh, you're fine, or oh, no, we need to do something, right. I would have been thinking about it. So, that's the difference between you and me. I'm overly concerned of dying, and you're like, yeah.
I'm dying, but whatever.
I got whatever.
I had every intention on wrestling the next day. It was just a matter of my fever was way too high and I could have collapsed. Had that not been the case, I could have taken it easy, you know, rest holds here and there. It wouldn't have been a good match, but it was a new town, so I really didn't need to do much anyway. But, like, that was the main thing, was I had a very high fever. So.
Well, think of it this way. If you would have went to the hospital the night before, maybe you would have made your booking.
That's true. Well, no, because I didn't get the proper medication until I saw the lung doctor. So if I went to the hospital, they just gave me a Z-Pak, which is funny among wrestling fans for certain reasons.
Well, let's look at it this way. If you would have went to the hospital, you might have avoided all the shit you went through that night. I'm just saying, go to the fucking hospital. Indie wrestling's not worth putting yourself through that shit.
Right, right. Live and learn.
Lesson for later, young man.
And that goes for everyone listening.
Yeah. All right, kids, don't swallow lighter fluid or whatever mystery fluid you put in your mouth.
If it says do not consume, do not consume it.
Right. If anyone in the business tells you put something in your mouth, don't do it. Unless you get a booking out of it.
I was going to say, unless you become the champion out of it. But you're a lot more forgiving than I am.
What you said is a little too close to home for me. All right. We're going to play a game.
Okay.
You want to play a game?
Yeah, let's play a game.
All right, let's play a game. Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It doesn't involve putting anything in your mouth, so you're good. Insert music here.
Time to play the game.
Bow. All right. I'm going to try a game that's not intended for one person.
Okay.
But I want to play this game very badly with somebody.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn it into a one person.
Okay.
Because what you say, you suck at things.
Yes. I would like the full disclaimer. I'm probably going to fail at this.
So this may be difficult.
This is going to be difficult. I'm telling you right now, everyone's going to message me and yell at me, but...
Especially Doe. Doe, I know you're listening. If he sucks at this, get him.
He's probably got other things to be more mad about than me
no,
saying.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
No, he doesn't. Doe will be the first to tell you that. No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Sorry,
Doe.
This game... It's a new game I thought of called Parade of Champions.
Okay.
And what this game consists of is I pick a championship from professional wrestling history.
Okay.
And what you have to do is you have to name as many people who held that championship as possible.
Okay.
Without naming a wrong person.
Okay.
Or running out of names.
Okay.
So as long as you can continuously think of people, I'll put a pre-existing number in my head.
Okay.
As long as you can at least get that number,
okay,
you'll win.
That's fair.
So I'm going to give you an option here.
Okay.
Just based off of what you were telling me, you being so obsessed with Ring of Honor, I'm going to give you a choice here. You can either go for the Ring of Honor World Champions, or just for broad wrestling fans, you can try and get the Undertaker streak. So either Taker streak or Ring of Honor World Champions.
Huh. That's different. We'll do Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor World Champions?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. There are 22.
Okay.
So you at least have to get 12.
Okay.
That's more than half.
Okay.
You at least name 12 of these people.
We'll see.
You'll win.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
You can start whenever you're ready.
Do I get disqualified if I use their current name, or do I have to use the Ring of Honor name? Can I just say the guy, and you know who I'm talking about?
God damn it. Yeah, that's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Which most of these guys are still known as who they are, so okay. It doesn't matter.
Well, Tyler Black is one.
Tyler Black is one.
Samoa Joe.
That's two.
Bryan Danielson.
Three.
CM Punk.
Four.
Austin Aries.
Five.
Kevin Steen.
Six.
Adam Cole.
Seven.
Homicide.
Eight.
Did I say Austin Aries already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Man, this is where it starts to get difficult.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds.
Oh, shit.
In between pauses. So, your 30 seconds starts now.
I'm going to take a stab here. Xavier?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know what the guy looks like, but... it's one of the two. Is it... One of the Briscoes?
Yeah, guess which one.
Yeah, I know. I got to guess which one.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
Shit. Jay Briscoe?
Yes.
Yes!
That is... That's 10.
Two more.
You got two more.
I don't think he was the pure champion. Did they ever unify that? But did he win? No, he wasn't. That's a stab.
20 seconds.
Oh, I think that's wrong. Christopher Daniels?
Yes.
The current one. Jay Lethal?
Yes.
Okay, one more to break it, right? That's 12, right?
That's 12. You can keep going.
Oh, I can see him right now. Oh, I don't remember his name. He's Asian. He was around 2007. Doe's gonna kill me.
15 seconds.
Bar Fuji? Is that his name?
No.
Ah! Shit. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Why did you think he was Ring of Honor champion?
I don't remember Asian.
You're racist?
I don't remember Asian people names. I'm sorry.
It's Morishima.
Morishima! I'm sorry.
Fuck.
Sorry. God damn. I did a lot better than I thought I would, though.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
If it wasn't, 7, if it 8, wasn't
9,
him.
10, 11. Oh, fuck.
I lost.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. No, you got it.
Oh, shit. I was either going to be him or Chris Hero.
No.
Okay.
Hero was never champion.
Okay, so I thought I could see the guy, I just named him wrong.
Right.
That's a winner.
You want to hear how many you missed?
How many did I miss?
Low-key.
Ah!
James Gibson.
Okay.
Also Jamie
Noble. Shit, he beat Punk.
Morishima.
Morishima, yeah.
Nigel McGuinness.
Okay. That was another one I was thinking of.
Jerry Lynn.
Ah.
Roderick Strong.
Okay.
Eddie Edwards. Davey Richards. Michael Elgin. Kyle O'Reilly.
Damn. I did a lot better than I thought I would, though. I picked the easy low hanging fruit though, I think. The Tyler Blacks, the Kevin Steens, the CM Punks, the
I'm surprised it took you so long to get Christopher Daniels.
Yeah.
He's the current champion.
Well see, my thought was think of the older ones.
I would have went directly for the current champion. That's the easiest.
Touche. Touche.
Alright.
Sorry guys. I failed you.
Yeah, man. That wasn't bad.
That wasn't too bad.
That wasn't bad as a solo game.
Yeah. I was thinking, when I said, like, oh, he's the pure champion, I was thinking of Nigel McGuinness, but I couldn't remember if he won the world title or not.
They unified it. He unified
it. I didn't know if he won it or if Daniel Bryan won it. I couldn't remember.
I'm pretty sure Bryan was champion.
Yeah.
And he worked McGuinness, and McGuinness unified him.
Okay.
90% sure.
Yeah, because I remember I saw them live in Cleveland, and it was such a great match. It was, the finish was a, I want to say, Nigel McGuinness or Daniel Bryan did a big like flip over like off the top rope over the guardrail and then like it was a count out. Everyone was celebrating and then there was a dusty finish because only the pure title could change hands. Mm-hmm. So it was like, ah, damn it.
Right.
But that was such a good match.
No. You did all right. I might have to tweak that a little bit more for solo people.
Right.
I think I might put a time limit on it.
That's fair.
Like as a whole instead of like still working
sense.
On it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You helped me knock bugs out by
I'd like to see if the next person can beat my record, though. Like, we could set a streak.
Well, see, that would have worked if I didn't... Like, if you would have set a time.
Yeah, yeah,
but
you're right.
But you didn't
right.
set a time.
You're right.
Someone else will now, because you gave me the idea.
Yeah, and then we can keep going from there and there and there. There's
exactly.
a lot of belts.
There's a lot of belts.
That's cool. I like this.
I tried to put the obscure ones in here, though.
Yeah.
Like, the WCW Hardcore Championship.
Oh, shit. I wouldn't have been able to get that.
And the TNA... Television Championship,
oh,
which was also the Legends Championship and King
Global.
Of the Mountain
yeah,
Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, man. Hey, you did all right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I tried.
You did all right podcasting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is my fourth one, so I'm hoping I'm okay by now.
Hey,
getting tired of telling the same stories over and over. Then.
Yeah. That's why I don't. I hope I didn't make you retell too many things.
No, and it was good. I liked it. Pretty much everyone. Oh, how'd you get into wrestling? That type of thing.
That's why I don't even like going. I don't go back to childhood.
Right.
It's fucking dumb.
Right.
I just start your wrestling journey, and then try to touch on topics within the wrestling company within the wrestling business that we can relate to as wrestlers,
right.
as opposed to fucking.
Yeah.
How did you get into the business?
Yeah.
What do you want to do in the future? What the fuck was that?
That being said, I know that the people that listen to this didn't listen to the other three I did. So it makes sense to ask how you get into it. So.
Well, I try to do it in the least... Like, I don't like just saying, how'd you get into the business?
Right.
Take it.
Right.
I like trying to find... I don't know. I don't know if I'm good
at it. I enjoyed it. Six stars.
Fucking Dave Meltzer. Don't Meltzer my podcast. Okay, all that's going to get cut out. All of that. All right. Before we get out of here, plug your social media things and where people can find your information.
You can find me.
Tell Marcus how to find you on social media.
Marcus.
He's listening.
Thanks for not asking me any questions.
He's sick right now.
Okay.
He's very sick.
You get a bye week. Feel better. People and Marcus can find me at X Sean X Phoenix. X before Sean, X before Phoenix. No additional X after Phoenix.
You're the worst.
That was my AOL Instant Messenger screen name. So
don't worry. My first email address ever had a bunch of X's in it, like in between words and shit.
But my actual email address has a worker's like I've been using it since I was 13. And
yeah.
It's like it's in reference to another current wrestler's name.
Okay.
And I'm just way too lazy to get another one.
Right.
I'll have to tell you that off the air.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's the same name for Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, AOL Instant Messenger, which I do sign on every now and then just for the nostalgia of it all. Yeah, give me a follow. I appreciate it. If not, that's okay. You probably already follow me.
Don't assume. Don't be so quick to assume.
If who is listening is who I think is listening, they probably already
You mean all my friends?
All of our friends, yeah.
Yeah, probably. They're the only ones that ever listen. Which I'm fine with. Please don't abandon me.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's all.
All right.
I think we reached the station, as it were. God, I need to just wrap it up. I'm going to have so much shit to edit out. Fuck. All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. For Sean Phoenix, I'm Matt Connard. Until next time, stay cool, boo. Yeah, that's another thing that scares me. Fucking concussions.
Yeah, I didn't talk about that, but yeah, I got concussions for yarding.
I think I've had, if I'm counting all of them, probably like 3 concussions. But if I'm counting like ones where I forgot where I was at, it's 1.
Right.
So, but you have to count all the ones even when you saw stars.
Yeah.
Because that's a concussion.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Probably at like 10.
Because technically, if you see stars,
that makes sense.
That's a concussion.
Yeah.
No matter how severe it is.
I never see stars in a locker room, though.
You know me, dude. I see more stars in the ring than across from me than I pay for most of them, but they're there.